If you have your Bibles, turn to Ezra. Start off with Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. Get 1 Kings chapter 18 if you want to. We'll be turning there. First Kings chapter 19, Ezra chapter 7. We'll go ahead and have another word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and your grace, God, and the fact that you love us. God, you sent your Son to die for us, Lord. You've called us to do things, God. You've given us abilities to do things, Lord. You've been gracious and merciful. You're long-suffering, God, and Lord, you treat us so good. You're so good to us. Lord, we're thankful, God, for that. We're thankful for salvation, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. We're thankful, God, for the opportunity, God, to live in a town, God, that's got a Bible-believing church, Lord, to be able to serve at the capacity, God, that we're able to serve in, Lord, be able to give to a work, Lord, that's interested in getting the gospel to the around the world, Lord. And now, God, Lord, on our part, God, is to listen and to obey. And God, bring glory and honor to you and to your Son. So, God, tonight, Lord, we ask you, Father, that you'd help us, God, help us to touch our hearts, Lord. Help us, God, just listen, God, to what you've got for us, Lord. Help us, God, to just be willing, God, to do whatever it is you want us to do, God. I pray, Lord God, if there's people here tonight, God, that need to be comforted, God, I pray, Lord God, they get comfort tonight. And God, I pray, Lord God, tonight, Lord, people that need rebuke, God, I pray, Lord, that they get it. Lord, I pray, God, for reproof and for correction. And God, I know, Lord, we're all flesh, and at certain times, God, we need everything. We need all of it. And God, I do believe, Lord, that you... that you'll talk to us, God, if we'll listen. And so tonight, God, I'm asking you, Lord, to cover me in the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. Forgive me of any sins, Lord, that might be in my life, God, that's unconfessed, anything that's in the way, Lord. Just get it out of the way tonight, God. I pray, Lord God, be a clean vessel, God, that you can use. Lord, I pray, God, that you preach me tonight, God. Bring things back to my mind, Lord. Give me utterance, God, wisdom and understanding, God. Use me tonight, God, to preach your word. Help me, God, Lord, not to say anything, God, that's just in the flesh or out of the way, Lord, or trying to just do something on my own power, my own will, God. I pray, Lord God, tonight, Lord, that you'd help me, God, to preach what you've given me to preach. Lord, I know, God, that you've got people up, God. You've dealt with them, and you've got them in a certain area, God, at a certain time, in a certain point, where they're ready to hear something, God. Don't let me mess that up tonight, Lord. I pray, God, you'd use me. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Now, the book of Ezra. Now, what's going on here in the book of Ezra, you know it's got to do with the rebuilding of the temple, of the altar there, and Ezra going back and becoming, he's a ready scribe there, and he's coming back to teach. And it's kind of interesting how this whole thing works out here. At the start of Ezra, they're given this commandment to go back. And so they go back and they start building the altar. And as they go back and start rebuilding the altar there, and after 70 years in Babylon, they get the commandment from Cyrus. They're headed there. Zerubbabel and Joshua, they're in the middle of doing all this. And then ends up something happens there. They get a letter sent back to another king eventually, and they end up getting the work to cease. Well, after that happens, then you get a couple of guys come on the scene, a couple of prophets. One of them is named Haggai. And one of them's named Zechariah. Hold your place here. Turn over to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai. John Hagee, maybe? I don't know. Haggai is what we say. And we're teaching all the kids in junior church the books of the Bible, so they're going to say it the same way. Anyways, you got the prophet Haggai, chapter 1. He says this, "In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest." So what's going on here is, So you start out with Cyrus, and there's a bunch of kings that's going through here, through this list here, and they change kings. You got Cyrus, you got Xerxes, Artaxerxes, Darius, Artaxerxes the second, Artaxerxes the third, all through these, about the next 100 years here. So the names kind of go back and forth, and it's different guys. But here you got in the second year of Darius, so it's after Cyrus. The work had stopped, and Haggai shows up. And when Haggai shows up, he's got a message for him. And the message is, what y'all doing? Y'all ain't doing nothing. Get busy working. Get busy doing it. That's what he's saying. You came to build the altar. You came to build the temple. You ain't doing anything. The work stopped. Get busy. And their answer is going to be, well, you know, there was a writing that came, and the king said to stop, and we're not allowed to do it. Well, God said to do it. And so that's where they're at right here. And Haggai shows up and he says in verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord. The Lord said, I beg to differ. He says, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Oh, it's okay. You don't have to have, you know, a message from the king for you to live how you want to live. And what he's saying is, you're taking care of you. You're taking care of your family. You're doing the things you need to do. You don't have to have special proclamation from anybody to take care of yourself. What about God? That's what he's saying. What about me? What about my house? That's what he's saying. And he says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Verse 5, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You sow much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. That's not 2018, folks. This is around 520 A.D. or B.C. 520 B.C., he's sitting here. And you know what's happening? You got a bunch of people that all they're worried about themselves. They're taking care of their own life. They're interested in themselves. And they're trying to make it on their own. They ain't worried about God. And you know what's going on? God's saying, you ain't sick. You ain't satisfied. And you're earning wages, but it's like it's in a, got a bag with holes in it. He says later on in the chapter, he says, you do all this work, you're trying to make it on your own. He said, and all I have to do is go, it's gone. You know what he's saying? He's saying your priorities are messed up. And he says in verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You say, what's he interested in? He's interested in being glorified. That's what he's interested in. And we get excited about what we're doing in life. We get excited about what we got going on. There's things that distract us. There's things that's going on. And we don't even think about the Lord. Go days without even thinking about God. You know what he's saying? Think about me. Consider your ways. Look what's going on in your life. Look around. He's saying, think about me. Glorify me. That's what God's saying. He said, I want you to glorify me. Think about me some. And go back over to Ezra. So after that message there, they all hit the altar and they all get right and they get busy. And they finish the altar and they finish the house. They had started the foundation and stopped, and then they go back and finish the temple. Well, years go by, a few years longer go by, and you get to Ezra chapter 7. Now, the reason we're here in Ezra chapter 7, here's what I want you to realize. God had Joshua. God had Zerubbabel that went over there to get busy. Things got shut down. You know what God did? He brought in Haggai. And he brought in Zechariah. So Haggai shows up in the 6th month. Zechariah comes in right behind him in the 8th month. And he's hammering about getting busy, doing what God wants you to do and glorifying God. You say, what is it? God's got a time schedule. God's got people that he's called to do certain things. And he's equipped them to do that. God has given people the gift or a blessing, the spirit, whatever it is you want to call it, the ability to do something he wants done. And so he called Joshua and he called Zerubbabel. And you know what he did? He said, that's the right person for the right job. And he sent them in there. And he said, get busy. And they got busy. And then when things shut down and they got a letter from the king to shut it down, you know what he did? He said, I need a prophet. So he gets Haggai. And you know what he did? He said, you know what? I'm going to make Haggai to where he's the right guy for the right job. And Haggai went there and did it. Right behind him, Zechariah comes in there. God said, you know what? I'm going to give him the ability to be a prophet. And he sent him in there. You say, what did he do? He equipped people with what he wanted them to do. He gave them abilities. He gave them gifts to get done what he wanted done. And he sent them in there. And so years later, here in Ezra chapter 7, look at verse 1. It says, now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalem, the son of Zadok, the son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, the son of Zahiah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Buckeye, the son of Abishua, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron. There you go. The son of Aaron. That's easy. The chief priest. Now, so Ezra shows up in chapter 7, and it says in verse 6, this Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests, according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests, and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Nethinims, unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Artaxerxes the king. And he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king, for upon the first day of the first month began he to go up from Babylon. And on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. So you say, what's going on? Ezra's taking a trip. Ezra's sitting back, and God said, you know what you need to do? We've got an altar over there, and we've got a temple over there. You know what we need? We need somebody to go over there and teach. We need somebody to go over there and get busy doing something, Ezra. And Ezra says, you know what? I'll go, Lord. And it gets to verse 10, and he says this, or verse 9, let's finish at the end of that. It says, of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. You say, what is that? That is somebody that God's given a gift. And he said, I need you to do something. And he's going and he's doing it. You say, what's he doing? He's stepping up. It's time. There's a time for it. There's a time to get started. Now, a lot of times what will happen to people is this. You'll grow up in a church like this, and you'll look at people from the time you come in church or whatever, you get started here maybe, and you look at people and you automatically think those people are above you, and you can't, you know, oh man, this guy's got that, and this guy's got this. You get called to do something and you realize, you know what? I'm not as good as so-and-so, and I'm not as good as so-and-so, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Yeah, well, you know what? God knows that. God knows it. And you know what we'll do? We'll use that excuse, as long as God will let us use that excuse, to just do nothing. But you know what? There comes a time in your life where it's time to step up. It's time to get busy doing what God wants you to do, what He's equipped you to do. And He'll say, I want you to get busy. I want you to do something. I want you to get started. And I want you to get started doing something that I've equipped you to do. Now, years ago, I used to work, me and Judd used to work side by side. And we, you know how it is when you work, you get all these conversations, you talk, and you have conversations a lot. And Judd would always tell me stuff, and he'd look at me, and he'd say, now, I ain't saying this is true, it's just Judd theory. And he'd start. And I kind of stole that. Well, I ain't kind of stole it, I stole that. And so I'll say, this is Jack theory. And I'll just start, I don't say Judd theory, I'll say Jack theory. Unless it's real bad, I'll say, this is Judd theory. I'll say, it's Jack theory. And I've got some theories, I got some ideas, I got some thoughts just from reading through the Bible, and stuff will go through your head, and I'm not saying I can prove it from the Bible, but here's what I've noticed from experience, like Jacob learned from experience, or Laban learned from experience, he said you can do this. You know what you find out? You find out this. Going through here and watching, I've seen people go to the mission field and not make it in the mission field. And it's not because they're not a good person. It's not because God ain't equipped them to do things. It's not because they don't have any gifts. It's because God don't want them to be a missionary. And I have seen people leave the field, and I've seen them with their head down and thinking they messed up, and the only reason they went is because they got a burden, or they felt like it was the right thing to do. They just thought it was. They got mixed up. There was a lot of pressure on them. They decided to go to the mission field, and I can remember thinking, man, I just don't think that's going to do it. He's a great guy. That guy right there makes somebody a great assistant pastor. And that pressure gets put on them, and they think they got to go to the mission field. And they go to the mission field, and they mess up, and they're out. You see, here's what Jack theory is. I think God equips you to do something, and I think you need to get in the role that God's called you to do. And I think He gives you... Have you ever just seen somebody in the role that you know, man, is made for them? I mean, they're just in that role, and you're like, man, that is... They are right there. I remember we started junior church, and got started. It was me and Beth, and we started, I think, down here on this before the building was ever even started. I was talking about the other day. I think maybe Jake Sexton was in junior church at one point. That's how long it's been. Over 13 years. I'm like, man. So you're sitting here, and you get this junior church started with a little girl named Ashley Mize that used to go here with Steve Meyer, and she was there, and she was doing Sunshine Church for me. Well, she decided she got called to go to PBI. She was leaving. I thought, man, who am I going to get to help? And I would love to say that I sat here and sweat great drops of blood and asked God for the right person. But I didn't. I looked for somebody that I thought was willing, that I thought was good with kids. So I asked Miss Nancy, I said, hey, would you do Sunshine Church? Man, was that a home run? You talk about somebody that's in the right spot doing what she's been called to do and just excelling at it. You get the right person with the right gift in the right spot and you will see just stuff just go. I mean, you watch, you take Brother Schlechte. He loves what he's doing. He loves it. You hear him talk about it. I mean, he'll get up here and start talking about it, man. He'll get up on his tiptoes and start talking. Man, I'll blow Jack. I was down there. He'll start bouncing off. Listen, he gets excited. He loves the Word of God to go out. He likes a new sign to go out. He said, look at this new material I got, Brother Jack. I try to be excited. Start before he does. You say, well, man, he's in the right role, man. He's in the role. He's in the right role, and he's doing what God's called him to do. Not just what God's called him to do, what God's equipped him to do. The point I'm making here with Ezra is this. You know what Ezra did? He showed up. He was a ready scribe. He was ready to write. He was ready to read. He was ready to do what God called him to do. He was ready to teach. And when it was time to step up and God needed somebody, you know what he did? He said, I'm here. I'm going to step up. I'm going to get busy. I'll go, Lord. I'll go do what you want me to do. And he took off. Everybody ain't called to be a missionary. Just like I believe some people go that ain't called and mess up, I believe there's people called that God has equipped and God said, I want you to be a missionary, and they don't want to go. And so they don't. And it messes up a whole lot of other stuff. And they get going. Look over at the book of Elisha, the book of Elisha, the book of 1 Kings. Brother Brian was praying a while ago. Praying he mentions Elisha. Brother Doug said, oh yeah, Brother Jack's going to be preaching tonight. I said, on Elisha. So I was in junior church this morning, so I don't know what went on. Hopefully we'll agree. If not, go by him. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. So here's the point I'm trying to get to. You take somebody that's just made for a role and they get in it and you see it. I mean, it is exceptional. I can remember growing up, and good, Todd's not here. I'm going to tell a story on him. All right, so I'm in high school, and me and Todd's like brothers growing up, and he was like my big brother. I thought he was all that. I thought he was great, and I thought there wasn't nobody could whip him. I thought there wasn't nobody could do it. I thought he was great. I thought he was a great worker. We'd go work together. Whatever he said, I did. I just did what he said. I thought he was everything. And I can remember one year in spring football practice, he had decided he wasn't going to get tackled during spring practice. Back then, it was only 15 days. What months? So it's only 15 days of practice. And so he decided, I'm just not going to get tackled. And I remember thinking, what do you mean? So I ain't going to get tackled. I'm going to make them blow the whistle every time I run the ball. And I thought, okay, he'll do it because it's Todd. He'll just do it. He was a fullback. And if there was ever anybody that was meant to be a fullback, Todd West was meant to be a fullback. He just looked the part. I mean, he was muscular. He was low to the ground. I mean, he can't even hardly turn around now because he played fullback. He's like this because of his neck. But, man, he was always up. It's all about it. He go through the hole, son. It was bam, bam, bam. They'd hand him the ball. I went back 1 year and looked. He'd average 8 or 9 yards a carry out of the fullback. He was just a fullback. So I remember 1 year in spring practice. So he kind of gets going with this. And first couple of days, he ain't been tackled. Literally. They blow the whistle every time. So you had one guy on our team that I thought was – actually, I thought he was meaner than Todd, bigger than Todd. He's strong, looked like a man, looked like an NFL football player to me. Looked like he could just take Scott High and flip it over. And so they hit each other. And there's a big, it's just on. And he's trying to just pick him, he's trying to pick Todd up and throw him down. Because he kind of got out, he wasn't going to get tackled. You kind of get this, you know how it goes. Well, they get going. Well, everybody's jumping in and it's going, and all of a sudden they're blowing the whistle. And they ain't quitting because this guy's decided he's taking him down. And this guy ain't going down. And it's just on. And finally, they finally pull him apart. And I remember Todd just goes back like this right here and looks at him and goes, he takes that football and hits him right in a face mask with that football. And then it's on again. You say, what? He just was that role. He was just that. Now, it ain't going to give him a big head because you all think about him. You're thinking, Todd? Todd West? Yes, it was. He was like that. You say, what's the point? The point I'm trying to get at, you get one person with the right attitude in the right role with the gift that they've been given, and man, it's on. And Ezra did that, and I'll tell you somebody else, was Elisha. And so the story here in 1 Kings chapter 19, here's what you got. 1 Kings chapter 19, look at, you know the story here, God tells Elijah, he says, Elisha is going to be the next prophet in your room. You go anoint him to be prophet to take your spot. So Elijah says, all right. So Elijah takes off. He takes his mantle and he shows up, and Elisha is sitting there working like a dog. There's 12 yoke of oxen out there, and he's on the 12th, and they're out there and they're working this field, and I mean, it's on. You can tell he must have a lot of money. Got 12 yoke of oxen. Must be a big place. Got a lot of work going on. A lot of stuff happening in Elisha's life. And so it's obvious he's got something going on, gotten something going for him. And so Elijah shows up and he just drops the mantle on Elisha. Now, it don't say what happened. It don't say what went on. But what it did say is that Elisha says this. He says, I'll follow you. So let's pick it up here in verse 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 19 says, so he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. All right, look at 2 Kings chapter. Go to 2 Kings chapter 1. So what's going on right here is Elisha gets this mantle dropped on him. Now, I don't know how it happened, but I do know this. He knows what's going on. So Elijah walks by, and he drops this mantle, and Elisha's reaction is, I'll follow you. So now Elijah was told, here's what Elijah was told, go anoint Elisha to be the prophet, the next prophet. Now, I don't know how he knew. I don't know what he knew, but when he dropped that mantle on him, that mantle meant something. And Elisha just automatically said, I don't know if he'd already been praying. He already knew what God was dealing with him about. I don't know how all it was going, it don't say. But I know this, Elisha was ready to follow God. And he was ready to do what God wanted him to do. And he said this, I'm gonna put you down there and I want you to be the next prophet. And Elijah goes by and he drops that mantle on Elisha. And Elisha looks and says, I'm on. Let's do it. And so he goes. Now, what ends up happening is about 10 years goes by. And the Bible says that Elisha ministered unto Elijah. You know what he did? He sat there and he went through this thing and he followed Elijah and he learned how this thing works. You know what happens a lot of times? A lot of times, people get ahead of themselves. People get ahead of things. They don't want to sit and they don't want to learn. They don't want to listen. They want to get experience from other people. So the first thing that happens is Elisha, you know what he did? He accepted the gift. He just said, you know what? I'm just going to accept the fact that God's given me the ability to be a prophet. Now, that's not just saying, oh, look, I think I can be the prophet. He's not bragging on himself. Here's what you got to realize. God's given you a gift, and it's not bragging or being braggadocious for you to sit here and say, you know what I think God's done for me? I think God can let me do this right here. I'm pretty good at this. You know what some people are good at? Some people are good at mathematics. Some people ain't. Some people are good at English. Some people ain't. Some people's got a good memory. Some people don't. You say, what's the point that I'm getting to is this. God didn't make everybody exactly the same. He's given everybody a gift, everybody an opportunity to go do something. He's given you an ability. And he gave Elisha an ability. And that ability was, he was going to be a prophet. He was going to be the prophet behind Elijah. And you know how great Elijah was. I mean, it's not humility to not do what God's called you to do. We don't need to get out and brag and all that stuff and talk about how great you are and all that stuff. But at the same time, you can't pretend like you don't have a gift. Amen. God gave you a gift and he gave it to you for a reason. Remember what Haggai said? What are y'all doing? I told you to go build my house and you didn't. I want to be glorified. Amen. That's what he said. He said, you got a gift, get busy doing it so I can be glorified. So Elisha's sitting here, and while Elisha's doing, he's got that mantle dropped on him, and he's not saying, oh, shucks, I just can't do that. I tell you, it's above me. Lord help us. I just couldn't do it. That ain't what he's saying. I mean, people say that stuff, and you know what? They're saying, God, you've given me a gift. I'm not going to use it. That ain't what Elisha said. So Elisha gets in the middle of this thing, and you know what he did? He accepted his gift. That's the first thing he did. I am good at being a prophet, God. You've gave me this gift. You told me I can do it. I'm going to accept that gift. What was the second thing he did? The second thing he did is he stuck with Elijah for 10 years. He ministered. The Bible says he poured. They talk about pouring water on the hands of Elijah. You say, what did he do? First he accepted his gift, and then he developed his gift. Some of you got gifts, but it's raw. It's raw, you can't use it, you don't know how to use it, you don't know what to do with it. There's things that's going on. I mean, you got kids at second, third, and fourth grade, they've got a mind like, I mean, it's crazy how smart they are, but man, it's raw, you don't know what. If somebody don't get a hold of that and begin to develop it and put it the right way and put it in the right use, you know what happens? It goes the wrong way. It's got to be developed. Elisha, God said, I'll give you a gift. He accepted the gift. He said, I'll do it. I'll be the next prophet. And then he didn't start trying to tell Elijah what to do. He says he ministered unto him. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. You say, what'd he do? He took his horse and he put his horse up for him. And he went out and he did. He said, Elijah said, I'm going to go do this. You go do this for me. And it wasn't something great to do. And Elisha said, all right, whatever it is, I'll do it, Elijah. I'm not going anywhere. You ain't getting rid of me. I'm staying with you till it's over. And he did. He stuck with it. He developed his gift. What gift you got? What kind of gift do you have? I think about things like my wife's got a gift to sing. She does. She's got a gift to sing. And that's no secret. She can sing good. She sang, ain't got nothing to do with me. She'd sing her way before she ever met me. But the point is, how can you use it for God? How can you use this singing ability for God? You know what's going to happen Wednesday night? You're going to have a youth night. You know what she's going to do? She's going to get up here and she's going to lead some kids in singing. You know what she's been doing? She's been teaching them. She taught them some more this morning down at junior church. Just down there, just trying to get them excited about singing, trying to get them to be loud, trying to get them to listen, trying to get them to say, listen, you know, you're going to be on TV. Don't stand up there with your mouth closed. She's trying to get them excited. You say, she just wants to bring glory to God. Amen. Take that gift you got and say, I'm going to bring some glory to God. How are you using your gift? Amen. Some of you in here, you've got the gift of good looks. Some of us, we were at the end of the line. or at the first in line holding the door for everybody else, however the jokes go. How can you use good looks for God? You'd be amazed at the people that'll take a tract from somebody that's pretty and won't from somebody that's not. I've watched it happen. I bet you somebody's done a study on it. I bet the government's gave money to do studies on it. They have done studies about this in interviews when people are hiring people. And if it comes down to it, and there's one and there's another one, I ain't talking about just girls. If a guy walks in and he's handsome, good-looking guy, they'll choose that guy over the other. You say, why? It's just human nature. God's give you a gift to be pretty. You can bring Him glory with it. Esther did. And we sit here and we can laugh. What are you using your looks for? To tell everybody else how pretty you are? To sit in the mirror and look how great pretty you are? And He didn't give it to you for that.
Amen.
You know what Elisha said? He said, I got a gift, Lord. You gave it to me. How can I use it for your glory and your honor? And Elisha decides he's going to do it. He got that mantle dropped on him and he was ready to do it. You got a gift. You got a good job? How are you using it for God? You got a good memory? How are you using it for God? You memorizing Scripture? You helping people? You know the point I'm trying to get to is this. You're supposed to bring glory to God. He's given you a gift to do it. And we're using it for ourselves. To glorify ourselves. To bring pleasure to ourselves. For our flesh. To be able to take care and pamper ourselves. To brag on what we did. How good we did it. What are you doing for God with it? I'm not saying go be a missionary. What I'm saying is, what do you have that God gave you? He says in the New Testament, don't brag about it. You didn't do nothing to get it. He just gave it to you.
Amen.
That's what He says. And the point is, what are you doing with it today? Elijah shows up, and Elisha's sitting there, and he's plowing. Obviously, he's been in some prayer meetings. So the first thing you need to do is you need to be praying, God, what do I have that you gave me? When you get it, you know, don't put it in the newspaper. Now that is bragging. Just accept the fact that God's given you some gifts. I was looking at a picture a while ago. You'd be surprised about what you can do. I was looking at a picture a while ago that Beth, right before we came to church, she looked at this picture. I said, oh man, Joshua was about this tall. And he's sitting there at church camp. You know who's in the picture with him? Sister Allison. Making a difference, my boy. At church camp. You say, what was she doing? Probably hoping he didn't kill himself. She's in a picture with him. She's spending some time with him. He's grinning ear to ear. You say, what? Just being kind to somebody. Some of you got the ability and the courtesy to be able to be kind, to smile to people, be able to just go up and talk to them. And you know what? You should be using that for God's glory. You go in, you talk to somebody, you're nice to them, and then the next thing you say, you invite them to church. You ask them if they've ever been saved. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, you don't go in there and beat them to death with it. Some of you got a gift to be able to get close to somebody.
Amen.
Some of you got a gift like that, and you don't use it. You don't want nobody to talk to you. You just, I'm talking to somebody. And you sit there, and you're like, I get like that sometimes. I'm like, oh, there's people at work. I'll walk a different route. I walk a different route because I know I'm stuck. You know what I'm saying? I don't have that gift. I've got these two little wrinkles right here, Brother Terry. For some reason, it makes people not want to talk to me. I'm not very inviting. My wife can. She'll walk in a store and people start talking to her. She don't even know. Come out, she knows the whole story. Lord, have mercy, woman. Use that gift. What gift have you got? You ever think about it? I get intrigued reading through the Bible. You ever just read through the Bible and something always stands out to you? The Bible just talks about God gave them the spirit of wisdom to be able to work with this right here. God gave them the spirit of wisdom to sing. And God gave them the spirit of wisdom to do this. And every time it just jumps out at me. God gave me something. You ever just sit down and think, man, God gave me something to do. Gave me something to use. He gave me something and I can use it and I can bring glory to God. I can do something with it. What's your gift? Look down in 2 Kings chapter 2. It says, and it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And you know the story? They sat there, and everybody's saying, you know, he's getting ready to leave today. And Elisha says, I know. And you know what Elisha's saying by saying that? Elisha's saying this. God called me to be a prophet. And Elijah's leaving today. I'm fixing to be the next prophet of Israel. It's getting ready to happen. I've been waiting for this thing for 10 years. He's got this gift. He's accepted it. He's been developing it. And you know what he's ready to do? He's ready to step up. What's God called you to do? Are you stepping up? Or are you stepping back? You know what the Bible says over in Hebrews chapter 5? It says, for the time when you ought to be teachers, you have somebody else that needs to teach you because you done forgot the first principles of the oracles of God. Hebrews 5:12. And what's happened is there's a time. God says a time you got to be a teacher. And Elisha, you know what? God don't want to hear those. Well, so-and-so's better than me. Well, so-and-so, I just don't know if I can do it or not. I just get nervous. Well, I don't know what I would do if they said no. God don't want to hear those excuses. You're here to glorify Him. There's a time to step up and exercise the gift. And Elisha is sitting here. And he's ready, he's willing, he's been developing this gift, he's waiting on the opportunity, he's listened well, he's just done what he's done. And all these other people say, yeah, you know he's going to be gone today. I know, shut up, I got it. I'm going. Go to another town. You know he's going to be gone. I know, I heard it. I heard it in the last message. I heard it on Facebook. He's leaving. I got it. And Elijah's like, you stay here. No, I ain't staying here, Elijah. I'll do anything you tell me to do, but leaving you ain't one of them. And he gets there, and it's out there, and he gets beside the Jordan River, and it says all these prophets here are watching. And Elisha's standing there, and he's with Elijah, and Elijah takes that mantle that he got called with, that Elisha got called with. Don't you know that that mantle meant something to Elisha? I mean, it's sitting there, and he sees him grab that mantle. How many times do you think he grabbed that mantle? He looked at that mantle, and he thought about that day where God called him to be that next prophet. And he looked at that mantle, and he smites that river Jordan, it splits, and they walk on dry ground. They walk across. And you got all those sons of prophets over there. They're all watching this thing happen. He takes off. He goes across the river Jordan. And there they are. And Elijah looks at him, and he says, what do you want, Elisha? One double portion of your spirit. Oh, I just ain't as good as somebody. Well, ask God for a double portion of their spirit. Ask God to bless you better than they got blessed. Not for your glory, for their glory. And God said, Elisha looked at Elijah and he says, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said, wow, that's a hard thing to do. That's a big deal. He said, but if you'll watch me till I'm done, till I'm gone, you'll get it. And it says they're walking down through there, man, they hear something coming. And all of a sudden, those chariots and of horses and all that stuff, man, it's happening up there in the sky. I don't know if the sons of the prophets, I don't know who else who can see it. But man, it's on. And Elisha's looking up, and Elijah's looking up, man, and it's going up through there, and it comes down there, and it splits them there, and he's watching Elijah go, and he's watching him all the way out of sight because he's wanting a portion, he's wanting a double portion of his spirit. And all of a sudden, what happens? He starts seeing something. Falling down. It's that mantle. That mantle just boom. You know what he's got right there? He's got a decision to make. Is he going to step up? This is it. It's what he's been waiting on. He walks over there. He looks at that mantle. And he reaches down, grabs that mantle. And he walks back and he's looking at that river. He's got to get back across. It's the moment of truth. He pulls that thing. He wads that thing up. I don't know how they wadded up, Brother Terry, but they wadded up. And he strikes that river, and he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Son, and that river parts. And he goes across on dry ground. You say, what's he doing? He's taking the gift that God gave him. He accepted it. He developed it. And now he's exercising it. And a lot of us, we get that gift. We start trying to develop it. We don't think about it. I don't know. Then we don't ever exercise it. We just use it for our own job or use it to be funny and people think we're funny. I don't know what you use it for. You can use it for something. God's given you an ability that other people don't have so you can glorify Him. I'll tell you a story of a guy. He's died a couple years ago. He's born back in the 30s, I think, somewhere back around in there. And he got married around 1948, I think. Had a daughter in 1952. His wife got sick. So his wife got sick. He was in Southern California there, and doctors didn't really know what was going on, so he started sending her across the border down to Mexico. And there was a doctor down there that began to give her some stuff, and it kind of helped her. Well, eventually that guy passed on, and his son took over the ministry. Well, he got to where he would take her down there and leave her for a couple of days. He got to where he's trusting her real good. And they decided to do some kind of a test on her. She didn't know nothing about it. Come back, it about killed her. Got her back, she was a mess. She was a mess from then on. They had a daughter. They had a little girl that grew up, and she decided that she wanted to get with the wrong crowd and the wrong guy, so she ended up getting with this guy, and she ended up running off and didn't know where she's at, couldn't find her, didn't know what was going on, gone for days. Finally found her. She was inside of a house with this guy, and they'd been doping her up and taking money from her, and she didn't know whether she's coming or going, didn't know what was going on, getting ready to die. He found her. Couldn't press charges because this guy was an FBI informant. He'd, you know, been telling on people, so he didn't do nothing. Got her back. She's almost like an invalid. Couldn't even talk hardly. Couldn't even do nothing. Beautiful girl. Seen pictures going through his books. Seen pictures of her. She's just a mess. Just done. You say, man, that's just tough stuff. It is. Got her back. Had to keep her herself the whole time. Found out that she had gotten pregnant at one point and had an abortion. The only opportunity he had to have a grandkid had been aborted. All that stuff going on. He went to work for a cartoonist company. And come up with this idea about some type of Stone Age characters that Mike could have a cartoon with it. Ended up in an argument with another guy that worked there and ended up leaving. They took that later on and started a cartoon show called Flintstones with it. He didn't get any credit for it. He went to Coca-Cola, and came in and told him, he said, I got a slogan for you. Talking about getting Coca-Cola to the whole world. You need to go global with it. And they were like, you're about 10 years too soon. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't go with it. They said, nah, we ain't going to do this. About 10 years later, they started coming out. Coke come out with that slogan about what the world needs is a Coke and all the songs. Remember all the songs back in the 70s and 80s that came out? So this guy right here, you say, what's the point of this story? The point of this story is, this guy was a cartoonist. And he had all these opportunities. All these things went bad. But the one thing that he did do is he used his gift for God. It's been said that he's probably the most widely read author that's ever lived in our lifetime. You know what his name was? Jack Chick. Jack Chick. Say, what'd he do? Had a gift. Had a gift. He could draw and write stories. And what he did? He did it for 55 years writing Chick tracks. He just passed away in 2016, 93 years old. All that stuff went on in his life. You know what he did? Brought glory to God. He didn't go to the mission field, but his tracks did. He didn't learn Chinese, but his tracks did. He didn't learn whatever they speak in Papua New Guinea. But his tracks did. Somebody else translated them for him and put them out. So what did he do? He said, God, you gave me a gift. I want to bring glory and honor to you with it. What are you doing? Consider your ways. It's all standing. You want to come to the altar? You come to the altar. You ain't got to wait. Miss Robin's coming up. She's going to start plate. It's time to step up. It's time to step up. You going to step up? You going to hold back? God's called you to do something. He's given you a gift to use. What are you going to do? 55 years writing chick tracks.